You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Have you ever watched an apocalyptic sci-fi movie and wondered, could any of this really happen? I'm Carrie Bechet, and on Hypothetical, we explore what-if questions two ways, through speculative science fiction and through insight from the world's most brilliant scientists. And spoiler alert, your favorite sci-fi movies aren't nearly as far-fetched as you may think. Time travel with me into our possible futures on Hypothetical. New episodes every Tuesday, available on all podcast apps. That's Hypothetical, Hyperthetical.
I feel like people sometimes think that that's like a more tolerant stance to take of being like, I'm open to everything. It's like, you don't have to be.
It's like, okay.
It's okay to be straight. Yeah, I wouldn't wish it on anybody, but.
I'm ducking out, you're ducking out. Let's duck out together, see what it's all about.
Ducking out!
Hi, and welcome to Dyking Out, a podcast of a lady on fire. I'm Carolyn Bergier.
And I'm Melody Kamali.
And I don't know if everyone will get that intro, but...
I like it.
All right. And today we're dyking out with the lovely Solange Azur about doulas. Solange is a Brooklyn-based comedian and writer and go figure... A doula.
That I am.
Full service doula.
Yes, yeah.
Yes.
For everything, abortion, pregnancy, the whole run of it.
See, I'm already learning that I'm so uneducated about this. So this is a very necessary topic to do, I think.
I'm totally clueless going into this, by the way.
Oh, yeah, I'm very so excited.
What if I just give you absolutely incorrect information?
You could.
We'll never know. We'll be walking around saying nonsense about doulas. A couple of quick announcements. Our next show at Stonewall is going to be Monday, March 30th, and tickets are going to go on sale later this week if you're looking for them. You can always find a link on our Instagram or on our website at dykingout.com/events. Also, I will be in Anchorage, Alaska doing shows, and we'll have a live Dyking Out recording the first week of April, and I'll have to have a guest co-host for that because I can't fit Melody into my carry-on suitcase, and Alaska's very far. That's like a lot to ask of you to come to Alaska.
A bit much last min, but we are, I'm going to go to ColexCon with
ColexCon, we're going to go to ColexCon. We'll be there on a panel with Sarah Kennedy from episode numero uno of Dyking Out. We're also going to try to put on comedy shows while we're there. And before that...
We're going to be in Los Angeles.
Yes. We're going to be trying to find all the cast of Generation Q.
We're going to the planet.
Yeah. We're going to the planet, and then we're going to go to Dana's, and we're just going to make a scene. That's the plan. So keep tabs on us. We'll keep announcing any shows we have going on, whether it's a Dyking Out-centric show or if it's just Melody or I doing comedy on other people's shows.
Yeah.
But it'll be fun to meet you. We love meeting our West Coast listeners. Quick reminder, if you haven't yet, also please rate us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts or leave us a positive review on Facebook. It goes a long way to help other people discover the pod, which will further the gay agenda. And isn't that the whole point, Susans? We've been getting so much good feedback about our trauma episode.
Yeah, what a doozy of an episode to come in as a new co-host on.
Yeah.
Just really coming in hot for you guys with all the truths and traumas. But
yeah, want to make sure you bared your soul and everything super personal just to get it all out there.
Yeah, it was kind of my way being like, you know, they can't not like me after I got so vulnerable right away.
Right, that was a great strategy. It worked out really well. I like how I pretend like that's where you got really personal when the episode you originally did was masturbation.
That's really true.
Did you masturbate today, Melanie?
Not today.
Oh my gosh.
Guys.
You know, I knew something was different about you.
Full disclosure, I have recently doubled my antidepressants, so I don't know if I'm going to be the masturbation queen anymore.
Oh, well, it's probably for the best that I stop only talking about you in the context of masturbation. So that is fair. Speaking of trauma and trauma-related things, there has been a third person in my, not really person, but in my relationship that's entered the scene since the new year, and it is a body pillow that is a panda bear that we've named Bernadette, which I didn't think was going to be a problem, but now I'm starting to get worried that Cecilia likes the body pillow better than me. I got her a body pillow for Christmas because of trauma and PTSD. She has trouble sleeping, and she started sleeping a lot better since we started being together, and no surprise to anyone, I'm the big spoon, and love to be a big spoon, but now it's like this double spoon where I spoon Cecilia and Cecilia spoons this giant panda bear. She keeps saying it's the best gift she's ever gotten in her life. She loves
Ouch.
It too much. I know. I know. She doesn't realize how this. Today she signed off an email because she had to leave and go out of town, and she wrote, "Already miss you." And then in parentheses, and Bernadette.
Oh, my God, boy.
Cecilia.
Yeah. I made the mistake of naming the panda Bernadette, and now I'm really starting to feel threatened by it. So, you know, I want to mention it because if you have trouble sleeping, sometimes a body pillow to hold on to can be very comforting, but also, you know, make sure you set some ground rules with your partner feel left out. Don't name it.
Make sure it stays in the bed also. Can't have it at the dinner table.
She wanted to bring, so she's going to.
It's
going to
be a real Lars and the Real Girl situation. movie.
I did, as a joke, put a bra on her for Valentine's Day.
Oh, you made her sexy.
I did. I set her up in the bed. Oh, why am I sharing this? I set her up in the bed with a bra and holding a vibrator, and just because I thought it was funny.
I think you're into Bernadette a little too.
Oh, God, I hope my mom's not listening. No, Bernadette is... We do not involve her in things. Let me make that very clear. That would be crossing the line. But Cecilia did want to take Bernadette to Peru with her today. And I'm like, no, you absolutely cannot. It's huge. You can't pick
it. She'd have to buy another ticket.
And get a passport. I know.
Bernadette doesn't have the correct papers or immunizations to go to Peru.
Not yet.
It would just be a nightmare. I know. Oh, God. Soon there's going to be like a third like co-host on the podcast, and it's going to be Bernadette sitting there silently just watching us. And nobody will be a guest on it again.
Bernadette should be at the Stonewall show, too.
Oh, God.
Bernadette threw the first break.
Oh, God, that's great. Don't give Cecilia ideas, ladies, please. And what else is going on? Last night was the Democratic debate. So now you know when we were recording this, it was before the Nevada caucus. Did you both watch it? Are you into watching debates, Lange?
No, I'm not.
That's okay. But this one was wild.
Yeah. Okay. I watched clips afterwards because I like will be on Twitter for the hours afterwards.
Sure.
And then my roommate had a little screening, and so I just heard a lot of yells. But it seemed like Bloomberg was just buried alive.
He was buried alive. thankfully.
Yes, I watched it and I watched him just get crucified and it was beautiful.
Yes, I hate Mayor Bloomberg. I don't use that word a lot, but I have a lot of hatred for that man and was just hoping that both Sanders and Warren would eat him alive. And in the first minute, Liz Warren says the phrase horse-faced lesbian, which I got really turned on. She was quoting stuff that Bloomberg had said before.
Yes, he said that about the royal family. I literally couldn't identify who he was talking about.
Oh my God, I didn't even know the context. I was just obsessed that she said the phrase horse-faced lesbian at a debate, I think.
Immediately.
Yeah, immediately. And I just felt really represented.
Carolyn changed her Twitter name this
morning. I did. I changed it to Carolyn Horse-Faced Bergier or Horse-Faced Lesbian Bergier. I had like 9 horse-faced lesbian tweets. I'm still doing them. You can't stop me. Out of context, I'm sure it seems like I'm a homophobe or... But I got the rainbow flag there, so it's cool. But I know we have international listeners, too, that maybe this isn't as relevant to, and I don't want to be too preachy and, you know, vote for whatever candidate you think would be the best president. But I will tell you, it is not Bloomberg. And please, please, please don't vote Bloomberg. And if you don't know why, there are many reasons that you can find, but trust 3 people who live in New York. I mean, you weren't in New York, Melody, when Bloomberg... Were you in New York when Bloomberg was mayor?
Kind of. I'm from Yonkers. My dad grew up in Queens, so he was really, you know, he's been through the stop and frisk thing. So I grew up very...
Yes.
Yeah.
Yikes. So many Black people I know who have been like very outspoken about how they would never vote for Bloomberg, and nor should they have to, and the choice should never be between 2 racist billionaires. But stop and frisk, a lot of people have heard about it and might not understand what it actually was, but it was like a terrorist state, like Gestapo level, like people just going about their business, trying to go to work, trying to go to school, people losing jobs because they were late to work, or kids being late to school because police were just throwing them up against the wall and frisking them and roughing them up and unfairly charging them on, you know, marijuana possession and stupid things like that for zero reason. And the only determining factor was the color of your skin. And it was just like the most insane racist and the numbers on it, and it increased 600% under Bloomberg. And a lot of people were literally afraid to leave their homes in New York. And that is terrifying. That's terrifying. And this is also a guy who had the laws changed so that he could be mayor an extra term. Yeah. So that's horrifying. Yeah. And then if he gets the nomination, that's kind of the end of democracy. That means that the nomination for president can go to the highest bidder. And that's horrible. So if all you see are the ads on TV, know that those are lies and he is bad. And that is my rant on Bloomberg. If anybody has anything to add here.
I mean, just hard just agree on everything.
Yeah.
Co-sign that.
Absolutely.
I think you.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I, you know, won't be mad for whoever you vote for outside of him. I hope it's Bernie or Liz. But
but then if he wins the nomination.
If he wins the nomination, I think that Bernie or Warren should mount a third party thing, because that's not a Democrat. He wasn't even a Democrat until 2 years ago, and that would be a huge shame. And like I said, I don't think that anyone, especially a Black or Latino person, should have to choose between Trump and Bloomberg, and there should be a third choice. And I don't even care if it's Jill Stein. And don't hit me with emails of like, it's better than Trump, because it is the death of democracy.
Yeah.
Which we're already.
I was going to say, as if we're not already.
Yeah, yeah. We're already headed there. But there are a lot of great candidates, and anybody on that stage other than Bloomberg that night would do a much better job than what's happening now, without a doubt. And they're all more electable than what we have now. Mm. Anyway. Because all the primaries are coming up, but I promise we're not going to turn this into a ranty political podcast. But being queer is being political.
Yes.
Yes. And you have to vote and you have to participate, because people are trying to take away our rights and kill us and kill people in our community and make their lives miserable. And that's not exaggerating. That's facts, and hate crimes are up, and we've got to look out for each other. and do our part. So if you have a candidate you feel passionate about, you can phone bank. That's something that now you can do like from home by just going to their website and signing up and making calls. If you live in a state that maybe like their primary isn't until later and you don't think it's going to matter, you can phone bank in a state that does matter now. And there are ways to get involved even if you don't have money. And pivoting from that, presidential nominees makes me think of Cory Booker, which makes me think of Rosario Dawson,
people. Oh, wow. Yeah. Speaking of the community, didn't she just come out as like LGBT, which is kind of the acronym?
Like,
but
I read the original Instagram post that I think this was based on, where she like posted some queer rapper and then like a poem about loving who you are, and people were like, "Are you queer?"
Yeah,
and then the Out article came out yesterday, and she said, "Not no."
Yeah.
She said she was kind of, that original post was her expressing that she is an ally, but she had used the word fellow LGBT when she used, but then had used this opportunity to formally now, like yesterday, come out as a member of the community.
Because she said, I wasn't coming out then, but I guess now I am.
I guess I sort of am now.
Yeah. Which I, not even the Instagram post, I thought that she was queer because she was with Cory Booker, and I thought it was a beard on beard situation.
I thought she was queer because she was in Rent, honestly. Like,
that's
subliminally,
fair too.
Like,
a lot of hints.
Always just assumed.
She does have some queer energy to her, but she said she's never been in a same-sex relationship or any type of relationship that you might describe as being queer. Mm-hmm. So there was an article in the Daily Beast, was it?
Yeah.
That was about Rosario Dawson and, I hope I'm saying it right, Jamila Jamil?
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, you see all these names. If you don't watch TV anymore, it's really hard to know how to pronounce common knowledge things. But I kind of thought she was queer because she did have like a rainbow next to her name on Twitter, which is pretty much the signal, right? that you're queer. Like, why else? Unless you're like Mariah Carey, who's just like butterfly rainbows, you know, for the past 40 years. But when she had that, I was like, I just kind of assumed that, oh, she's bisexual or something. And then she was cast to be a judge on this ballroom voguing show that's coming out on HBO called Legendary. And then she got a lot of slack for that because they're like, why would you put a straight woman there? And then she was like, well, I guess I have to.
Like, I guess you guys didn't pick
it
up on the rainbow on my Twitter. So.
Yeah. And then a lot of people are mad because she's in a relationship with someone of the opposite sex, which, like, if you're bisexual, sometimes that is the case. So Jamila Jamil, she's dating James Blake, and a lot of people were like, oh, you're coming out as queer, but you're dating a guy. And it's like, well, that can also be true. But the Daily Beast article was like, these coming outs kind of ring hollow because it's like around the time that they're promoting their own projects, and it's something that grabs headlines. And I don't know, it's very complicated because on one hand, I get that critique because it's like, okay, the Rosario Dawson one is kind of vague. And then you have people like Susan Sarandon at one point was like, oh, I'm open to dating anyone once she became single. I'm like, I guess you could say that like in theory, but like, I don't know. You know, I feel like people sometimes think that that's like a more tolerant stance to take of being like, I'm open to everything. It's like, you don't have to be.
It's like, okay.
It's okay to be straight. Yeah. I wouldn't wish it on anybody, but it is okay to be straight. You don't have to be. I mean, that's awesome if you are open to everybody, but I feel like sometimes people just feel like,
it's like really passe straight.
Yeah. Somebody should throw a straight pride. Just kidding. Remember that? Someone did. Okay.
Oh, yeah. I saw that footage.
Was it just like one guy with a bottle of like all-in-one shampoo and conditioner? And just like
it was a lot of guys.
Was it?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, I'd be happy to have them in the community. I would love if Rosario and Cory Booker had a joint coming out party.
Yeah, I feel like that's also key too, is like, I feel like so much of like, and especially like as a bi person who right now in a relationship with a man, like, I think also a lot of my queerness has just come from like the ways that I give back to the community, things that the community has done for me. And I feel like oftentimes celebrities, and not to say that like you can't be queer and be separate from communities, not everyone has access to it, but
yeah.
I feel like when you're in a position of power like that, I'm like, well, okay, well, what are you doing for us? Like, who is your community?
Right, right.
I feel like that's where some of the frustration comes in.
Yeah, it's such a hard thing to, you know, if you're not that person, like one, we don't know how Rosario or Jamila like really feel or like what goes on and in their minds. But yeah, it's very hard to when you're like in the public eye, also being afraid to take up space in a community. It's kind of like a catch 22 of like, they're so afraid of like taking up space, but like, because they're not like immersing themselves in the community, then we're like, well, who are you to be saying that you can be part of the acronym?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's also like right now, especially when I'm out with Alex, my partner, like I'm perceived as straight and like there are a whole bunch of privileges that come with that. At the same time, like I think, well, now I present a little bit more queer than I have in the past. But yeah, I don't know. I think there is something to be said about just like the way that you're taking up space. And like, I think it's always important to be centering the most vulnerable people. And
I
know when you're a celebrity who has so much access and resources and power, like I feel it'd be one thing if like Jamila came out and was like, yeah, I'm queer. And also like, queerness has been a big part of my life and like here are the ways that like it's served me and here are the ways that I'm going to serve the community. That'd be awesome.
Yeah. But,
yeah. I feel like it gets sus when it's like, are you doing this for clout?
Yeah. It's so hard. And also, like you said, there are a lot of queer people who aren't involved with the community for one reason or another. You know, you take someone maybe like, and I don't know what he's been up to his whole life, but Pete Buttigieg, who you know, he's like pretty straight passing. And there was like a whole thing where he didn't do a fundraiser.
Oh, yeah.
In Providence, because there was a pole for like pole dancing at this gay bar. And then so he wouldn't do a fundraiser there. And so he seems like maybe he does have gay friends, but like, let's say he didn't, you know, that's his prerogative. You know, that doesn't make him necessarily like less gay or anything. But then you get to this point where like, okay, you're a celebrity. We've never heard of you dating a woman. You're currently with a man and we're like, prove yourself, go through the gauntlet of queerness and like produce receipts. And we can't help but comment on it though, because we're starved for
give us
knowing who else. Yeah. Oh, I had a fun morning today. I spent it in a sperm bank.
Hello.
Ooh.
Yeah, I went to cash some checks. No. I've mentioned before that my wife and I are in the process, and this will ease us into our topic. We're in the process of starting like fertility treatments and all of that, and we're using a directed donor. So that means it's somebody we know. We're not getting anonymous donor sperm vials that are purchased or whatever. We wanted to be able to point and say, yeah, it's him.
Oh.
There was some paperwork that had to be filled out, and it was just like easier if you signed it in front of them instead of having to get it notarized. So I met my friend there this morning, and us sitting there just filling out paperwork, knowing that he was just going to go in a room 10 feet away and jerk off soon was made for some fun jokes and like, cool. Yeah, nothing weird about this. Nothing at all weird about this.
Just a casual hang.
Yeah, joking about how the magazines in the waiting room were very tame. Thought it would at least be Maxim or something, you know, you in. It was like interior decoration.
It was like Hallmarks.
That's the opposite.
No, wait, not Hallmarks. What is it?
Highlights.
Highlights.
Yeah. Highlights mag. That'd be amazing. Oh. Like old Reader's Digest. They were probably like from the 80s. This place was, it was also like in a brownstone. So you walked up to it and you're like, wow, I wonder if people like live upstairs and then there's just people like strangers just coming in and out to deposit jizz.
Oh my god, what's the opposite
day
of a
in
ghost?
And day out.
Yeah, it feels like that's what that is.
Yeah.
Like a pheromone spirit.
Yeah, we're doing it. We've been talking about it for a while, and it's like a very long kind of process once you get all your ducks and ovaries mm-hmm. and semens in a row and pull the trigger on it. And we're going to have to start getting the shots soon because we're both going through IVF. So they're going to harvest our eggs around the same time because our cycles are a little bit different. Mm. So you pump yourself full of hormones and you have to inject yourself with shots every day for like 2 weeks or so. But it's a lot. Like the list of yeah. medications is insane. And also Amy Schumer has been posting about her experience with IVF and it seems terrifying. And it was like they took 36 eggs from her, 27 or something fertilized. And then there was only one viable right. embryo out of all of that. And I guess Cecilia and I are lucky because there's like two of us. So we're working with four ovaries. But at the same time, you know, we're both in our 30s and I've had like endometriosis since I was diagnosed when I was 12 and have been on birth control my whole life. So like I have no idea what yeah. it's. Yeah.
The hormones are going to be while we're in LA, right?
So. No. It's going to be before we go. Okay. So if the next few episodes of Dyking Out are just me crying into the microphone or being very emotional, that's why. Like, I think one of them said, like, HGH. I'm like, isn't that what baseball players take to hit home runs? Like, am I going to be, like, flipping tables? And, like, I have no idea.
I can't wait to watch and see if there's any shift in your
yeah.
mood or behavior.
Oh, well, and yeah. also the fact that we're doing it both at the same time. Because a lot of people, so as a lesbian, you get like, oh, are you both going to get pregnant at the same time? You're like, no, that's like an awful idea. But we're both going on heavy doses of hormones at the same time, which sounds equally awful. But we just need to get those eggs out of our bodies. Yeah. Just gotta, and I hate the word harvest. It's like harvesting eggs.
Yeah. Man, I feel so immature. Like, I'm like, oh, this is such grown-up speak, but I'm not that much younger. Should I be thinking about this?
Like, wait till your second marriage. Okay. And you'll be like, okay, I really should get moving on this. So you're a doula. How did you first tell us what a doula is and then tell us how you got into this line of work?
Yeah, for sure. So a doula is like essentially like a birth advocate or birth support person. And there are so many different types of doulas. Like I said, like I'm a full spectrum doula, which usually means like I cover abortion, birth and postpartum doula. And I can like talk about what those different things mean. But there are also like sexuality doulas and fertility doulas and
sexuality doulas.
Yeah,
is that what Rosario Dawson
dream.
Needs?
Yes, that's it.
So, like, that's what the world needs, yeah. honestly. Yeah, they're so cool. I want to get trained to be a sexuality doula so bad. I feel like I first have to figure out like my own sexuality a little bit. Like, it's always changing. Yeah, I think they just like help you get in touch with like yourself, your wants, your needs, figure out like where your desire comes from, how to talk about sex and feel sex. It seems amazing.
Ooh.
But then they're also like the doula who trained me was an end of life doula as well as like a full spectrum doula, which yeah, that's another thing that I feel like is definitely something I'm like, ooh, that'd be very hard and cool to do.
So does the word doula translate to like helper? Or?
It's kind of tricky. It apparently in ancient Greek means slave. So that's, you know, a complicated history, especially as a black doula. I think the word has evolved a lot. And
wow.
Yeah.
I had no idea. You know, it's probably good that they don't have that in the advertising.
Right. Like,
in parentheses.
Yeah. Like the job function is very different. But I think at the time that like, when doulas were like, but also like doulas have existed in so many different cultures and have different words for them. This is just like the word that has made it to like what it looks like right now in this context. But yeah, I think like in ancient Greek, it was just like a mate, like someone who's like by your side all the time.
Yeah.
Possibly through, I can't really remember, but yeah.
Because it sounds kind of like mythical.
Doesn't it?
It sounds really magical. Yeah. My sister is very into this stuff too. She does period coaching. And so she got so excited when she found out I was going to be talking to a doula. I was like, oh my God, where did she get certified? Ancient song.
Oh, yeah, they're amazing. That is where I got certified though.
Where did you get certified and when?
So my senior year of college, I like did like I study women, gender, and sexuality. And then there's this reproductive justice club on campus, and they brought on a doula to give like discounted trainings, and doula trainings can be like very expensive sometimes. And so I signed up because at that point I was also doing a lot of work around abortion. And I was like, I feel like it'd be helpful to just like get a better sense of like what pregnancy is. And then I fell in love with it. And I was like, this is so magical and beautiful. And also like learning a lot about the maternal mortality rate. And I was like, wow, there is a real need here and
in this country, because it's worse here than in a lot of developed
especially
countries.
Like African American women, right?
Yes.
In New York City, it's
yes,
like the
12
highest,
times
right.
more likely to die in childbirth yeah. than yes. white counterparts, which is crazy.
Which, what's her name? Serena
Williams yeah.
brought a lot of attention to that
yes.
Through unfortunate circumstances. But I feel like I obviously as a white woman was like completely oblivious to that until her story came to light, and about how that's been like a common thing for so long of doctors not taking black patients seriously when they talk yeah. about complications or pains or that something's wrong and they yeah. need an advocate.
Yes, and it's so sad. I mean, a lot of, I think, statistics can sometimes read, when they're racialized, can also read as a little bit more class-based. Mm. And I don't think that that makes it any better or worse. But in this instance, it really, like, is kind of along class lines. And it's so much just about, like, institutional racism.
For sure.
Which, yeah, is terrible. And it makes it, I mean, it's like a structural and institutional problem. But doulas are, like, a very effective intervention in reducing the rates of maternal mortality and also in needed medical intervention in birth. So, yeah, they're great.
I do want to back up for a second and ask Melody, what is a period coat?
Yeah! Is that period doula? It sounds like
it's
a doula.
Yeah, it's like a period doula, I think. she is... Like, she has clients, and she is really obsessed with period cycles. And I guess, like, every day of your period means a different thing for your hormones and what you should be eating. Like, she knows exactly, like, it's apparently the period is broken up into four quarters, and there's, like,
wine,
one
chocolate,
period.
Yeah.
Except
fries.
More, like, creative, passive, oh. aggressive. Like, there's, like, fine. Different Ooh. Parts of the your cycle where okay. you're... A lot more prolific and creative. There's parts where you're more reserved. There's parts where you should be having more vitamins than others. Like, okay. it's a whole thing. Whoa. And it's a very small community, and there's not that much information about it. And actually, it's at the point now where Christian groups are, like, they're kind of, like, pretending to be period coaches, and but they're actually, like, backed by a lot of anti-gay, anti-birth control Christian donors, and... It's like a whole thing where there's no access to information so much that like groups that are trying to shut down any kind of further access to this information are pretending to be that source of information.
Wow.
Specifically, look up this group called Femme,
F-E-M-M-E.
Yes. Yes. So mm-hmm. my sister originally, as she was starting out researching, she signed up for their classes and had no idea
yes.
that it was a totally like Christian bigoted group that was driving their mission through the guise of like educating women about their bodies, when really they're just trying to get women to not take birth control, to not
yeah.
really seek any kind of like medical intervention. So it was like serendipitous how she found out, because she was actually temping for like this big financial district, rich investor guy, and found out he was investing in Femme. And she's like, oh, I do Femme. And then she did more research into him and saw all these pulled quotes on articles about how he's like very anti-gay, anti-woman. Oh. And so now she's...
Did she murder him?
I, against my wishes, no.
Okay.
Yeah, she has different clients and tells them what to eat and what to do.
I'm not going to lie, it sounds very much like Gwyneth Paltrow Goop level shit.
It's Goop level.
Okay, it sounds like Goop would be all over period coaching
yeah.
and about the phases of your period, and then try to sell you
right.
like corresponding jade eggs or whatever.
Corresponding.
Yeah, it's I or, love or watching candles, her bring it up to people.
Candles that smell like your period.
Oh, God. Erica Badu, we got to get those
yes.
incense.
Yes,
yes, yes, yes.
For this dude.
Pussy.
Yeah.
I do think I had like a phase when I was a teenager where I was buying a lot of incense. And then it like smells really good when it's unlit, and then you light it, and then it all smells the same.
Yeah.
Unless like there are certain ones that smell different, like a citronelle one or more.
Ooh, I don't know much about incense, so I'm taking your word for it.
But you're a doula. Yeah.
I know.
We're all about these essential oils and diffusers these days.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm.
Anna Sheridan, missing for nearly 6 months now.
I need you to find me.
The Sheridan Tapes, a serialized horror mystery podcast. Stream the complete series today on Realm and on all podcasting platforms.
Okay, yeah, back to doula.
Yeah,
that
period doula.
Like period. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. I mean, also feel like
this is all fascinating, and I feel ashamed that I don't know any of this, but yeah, we're all here to learn.
Well, that's the thing. I feel like we're so not encouraged, and in some spaces, like actively discouraged from ever understanding, like, people with uteruses, like how it all works and like what your vagina does. And so few people know things about like menstruation or birth. I knew literally nothing about birth, and I was like, yeah, oh my God, this is so much more complicated than I thought it would be. In a great way, but yeah.
I started following a midwife on Instagram after meeting her. She was actually going to start a podcast and asked me to meet for advice. And when I was learning about...
Is she the queer midwife?
She's not a queer midwife. Mm-hmm. And she's based in Buffalo, and I'm obsessed with her Instagram. And she and my friend is basically her birth photographer, and photographed her giving birth to her third child. And she decided to do the third one all on her own. So like her mom was there and her husband was there and her two kids were there, but she caught it. And it's these images, and it's the most badass thing I've ever seen. And it's her on the bed, just like on her knees, pulling this baby out of her bed and like the fluids, and I'm just like,
on her bed.
Oh my God. Yeah. It did look like a nice duvet. It looked very nice. I think she had a tub too, but I don't know at one point if you move from the tub to the bed or what happens.
It depends. Yeah. I've been to like two births that have incorporated water, and one client like gave birth in the water, which was amazing, and then another client like transitioned back to the bed. So I feel like it's personal preference.
Yeah, yeah. Here's how ignorant I am. When I think doula, I just picture a tub. Like it's all like mashed into one visual. So like there can be a doula in a hospital.
Yeah.
Right? Yes. Like I don't know why I just associate it with like a home tub birth. Like,
yeah, that's what everyone always is like. The first two questions I get are like, oh, are you a midwife? And I'm like, nope, I'm a doula. And the other question is like, oh, have you ever been to a hospital? I'm like, yes. But
explain the difference with midwife.
Yes. Midwives are like doulas. You get trained, but your training is non-medical. And like, you have to know about the physiology of birth, and you spend a lot of time in like medical settings. But midwives, they're trained, depending on the state, are either like certified nurses as well, or just like certified midwives. And yeah, in New York, you have to be a nurse to be a midwife. So, and they like work in hospitals or outside of hospitals with birth centers, and they like know how to like take temperatures for babies and the things that are the delivery parts of it, or like assess when there's like a high risk situation, like things like that I can't do and should not do.
Yeah. If you don't have a midwife, you can still have a doula.
Yes.
And if you have a midwife, you can have a doula.
And they like work together a lot. It really depends. You're trained to do so many things, like physical supports. That's like knowing different positions to be in, because birthing on your back is like not the best way to birth. And that's been like something that's been like known for a very long time, but is now like evidence-based. And there's been all this research that's come out lately that's like, it's actually really bad to be on your back when you're birthing. So
and that's how they do it in all hospitals.
Yes, because it's like more efficient and more, you know, controlling. Yeah. So yeah, it's so fucked up.
Yeah. So when you're at a hospital and they're doing a birth and someone's on their back, can you say like, no, get up and move into this position or like bend over?
Yeah, it's like kind of interesting, actually. Most of my births are, I'd say, in hospitals. I also am like a community-based doula, so I'm working with clients that are like qualified for Medicaid and WIC, and so a lot of them are birthing in hospital settings. And it really depends on the hospital. Like some hospitals, especially the hospitals that have like high like malpractice things and are, you know, not known for being particularly great to their...
Would that be Woodhull Hospital in Brooklyn?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, Woodhull's actually not that bad. Okay. Kings County? Yeah, put them on blast. Oh my God. And like I get
bad experiences.
I haven't had a birth at Woodhull yet, but yeah, like, and I think it's like this horrible thing where it's like they're underfunded and they're worried about, like, they want to do, in their mind, they're doing what's best to protect like the hospital and the patients. Like, they're like, we don't want you to risk the like client falling down or hurting themselves. But it ends up being like kind of like a police state where it's like they can't just lie and like, this isn't good either. And it sucks that like hospitals are so afraid of being sued that they're not even practicing in the way that's like best for the people that they're supposed to be serving. Yeah. So I feel like the doula in that, and sometimes like a dicey thing, like sometimes depending on my relationship with the client and like the client's like pregnancy and birth, I'll like, if a nurse leaves, or depending on who the nurse is also, like I'll softly encourage them to like turn over or stand up and walk around. And I mean, the worst that they can come in and just be like, you need to stop that, which is, you know, not great because I can get kicked out, I think.
Yeah.
So it's like a kind of a dance to work with staff, depending on how doula friendly they are and depending on what the rules of the hospital
are. Have you heard of one being kicked out ever?
I don't think so. I've heard of definitely like there being tiffs and
friction.
Yeah, a lot of friction. And sometimes some hospitals are like more strict and will be like, we only like one person in here. So if you're a doula and there's like a partner, then you're doing like a little rotating thing, or if there's somebody else there. And some hospitals will be really nice and be like, oh, the doula, yeah, of course, like go in, like we love and welcome doulas here. So really varies.
Do you work with both opposite sex and same sex couples?
I've only had same sex couples so far, but I've actually only, and I've had a lot of also single parent births too.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's, there's a lot of really awesome, like there's a strong queer doula community here, which is amazing. Both like doulas who are queer and like doulas who are specifically supporting queer births.
From some Googling I've done, I'm like, the doula scene seems very queer.
I was like, going to say, the only doulas I know are bisexual.
No, straight up. Well, I feel like it takes a certain level of loving vagina to want to be around them. I should see it change in all of its forms.
Yeah, it's just appreciate it.
Yes.
Yeah. I think it's funny. It's like there are two careers that I feel like are inherently super queer, and one is like doulas and like midwifery, and then the other is stripping. But it's like this level of comfort with the body, you know, that I think makes people just more fluid. I don't know, or attracts like more fluid people that they're like,
I think so.
Yeah. I was just wondering, just like with opposite sex couples, I do believe that there are some great men. I also believe that most of them are useless when it comes to supporting a woman during birth. Like just from hearing stories of people I know, even knowing my mom was recently doing the very mom thing of retelling the stories of mine and my sister's births to Cecilia.
I get that every year
in detail
on my birthday.
Right. Yeah.
Wow.
Right.
I get the rundown.
Right. Anyway, I definitely want to hear about both of those.
Well, at one point, my dad, I think for mine, like, had a headache or something, or I don't know. He had some like little minor problem. And then the doctor went to my mom and was like, you know, he's feeling better. We got him in a room, or he was nauseous or something. I don't know.
Oh, yeah. My dad was put in a room, too.
Yeah. And my mom was like, fuck him. Oh, my mom was like, I don't give a shit. I don't care if his head explodes. Like, why is anybody paying attention to him?
Yeah.
Yeah. So don't take up space right now.
Yeah.
It's just like the movies, like the dad, like, passing out or, like, unable to handle it. I mean, my dad literally fainted like a movie character.
Oh, yeah.
And then I came out and it apparently ingested some of my feces during labor because it was a very long labor. So like my mom was in a room, then my dad was in a room, and then I was being operated on to get like the poop out of me.
Oh my God. I didn't even know that was a, I mean, I know that feces are involved, but
I aspirated it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You weren't like,
No, but that was the family joke because I was like a chubby kid too. And it's like, oh, Melody was always hungry, right?
That's not your fault. Oh, wow. Savage.
Yeah.
Savage.
No, I feel like that's one of the things that often comes up. I feel like, any partner, it's like so hard to see someone you love in pain and like going through something really intense. And I think that's something that not a lot of people anticipate with birth. Like I've seen partners, like opposite sex partners, like come up and be like, I'm so ready to do this. Like, I'm so excited. And then one of the things that I often talk about in like the prenatal sessions is just like, okay, this is going to be really hard in a way that you might not even anticipate. Like it's going to be emotional for you to see someone you love or hurt. And then they get there and they're like, oh my God, this is so sometimes. Yeah. The work is like, you got to go take your time and like breathe. And that's why it can be really nice to have like another support person there, like a doula who can step in. So you're not just leaning on someone who is maybe a bit more fragile than you anticipate.
Right. I mean, you know, I joke about men being useless, but I also know, I mean, obviously I came into this knowing very little about like birthing and that stuff. And I guess I could, you know, do research and there are classes and whatever. But I also know that it's going to be like a very, like, you know, my wife's going to try to get pregnant first. And if it all works out, like, it's going to be a very emotional thing. It's there's going to be like a lot going on. And I want her to have like the best help and the most support she can have. Yeah. And I recognize that that's might be more than just me, you know?
It's so much for one person.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think you should hire Solange.
Oh my God. You know, after, because Cecilia was at we were both on a comedy show a few weeks ago, actually Glow Butler's comedy show, who was on the Relationship Regrets episode. And we were on her show. And then when Solange mentioned that she was a doula, Cecilia was like, can she be our doula? Like, maybe.
Yes. I mean, I would love to. Yeah.
I'm trying to talk her into, you know, it's easy because she's, again, hopefully, knock on wood, going to be the one getting pregnant, trying to talk her into using a midwife and a doula instead of going to a hospital. And she was like, no, I think I want to be. I'm like, no. It's like a lot of misconceptions of people thinking like, you'd be insane to do it at home. Now, I understand maybe if you like live out in the country far from like a hospital in case of an emergency or something like that. The one thing is that she is like in her late 30s. So that's a little bit more, I think, considered a what they call a geriatric pregnancy.
That's not
at what point is it geriatric?
I think 35. I think over 35, it's geriatric.
That's insane.
I know. So
it's depressing.
But even then, like when you read the stats, though, of like how quick they are in a hospital to go to a C-section, how much like unnecessary monitoring and testing and stuff they do that can be kind of traumatic for the fetus and for the mom.
Yes.
So the benefits of having what I've learned through this midwife's Instagram is that, it's like a lot more like how nature intended, I guess, how nature intended. Meanwhile, I'm like having a science project. Like,
that's also how nature intended.
To make this thing. It's going to be like, ideally, my egg, my friend's sperm being put into her.
Yeah.
Into her uterus. At first I was like, I don't want this kid to be a science project. But now I'm like, whatever. Do you know, like, off the top of your head, like, the statistics of, like, how much safer it is? Or you can't, you not really make those claims?
Like, to hospital birth versus home birth?
Yeah,
I don't really know. I don't even know if there's, like, research that, like, so... Like, there's some research, and I really should have these stats more, like, memorized. But I know there's research that shows, like, the presence of a doula like significantly reduces the chances of C-section or death.
Yeah.
And I don't know if there's probably research around midwifery too.
Yeah.
But there are also like, I think if you find the right hospital too and find the right team, is there midwives that work in hospitals? And then there are also like hospitals that have like really nice birthing centers and OBGYNs that are doula friendly and are, you know, thinking about these things in a way that's more similar to like how it would look in a birthing center or a home birth.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can like find an option that works. I really believe it. Yeah. There's definitely no suggestion that suggests like having a home birth is more dangerous.
Right. Because if there are complications, like you will, there's still usually an option to go to a hospital and get to a hospital.
Like labor's so long.
Labor, yes. Labor is like a very long thing. It's not like a quick.
No, like, it can be like days.
Yeah.
Mine was 2 days, apparently.
Me like, too. Yeah.
I feel bad.
Same.
Yeah. That's why on people's birthdays, I usually want to like give the mother a gift. And
that's how
like,
it should be.
It really should be.
Yeah. It should. We do nothing.
I don't
need Mother's Day. Yeah. We don't need like one like commercialized like day. It should be just whenever your birthday is.
Yeah. I think you should have to watch your birth every year on your birthday.
And yes.
Like, okay. Yeah, I get it.
I just told Cecilia the other day that I'm going to film the birth and then threaten our kids with making them watch it if they're ever like very bratty and be like, do you want to see what your mother went through? Do you want to see? And she's like, you can't do that. I'm like, can't I?
Oh my God.
We just had our trauma episode.
It'd be funny if you like put it on the Patreon.
Right. Melody, this is why you're co-host. I love the way you think.
It's going to be a top tier incentive. We're going to put Cecilia's birth
wow. on there. Yes, wow. It's going to be $50 a month. You can see my wife's vaginal canal.
What, increments of it?
Love. Yeah. It's great. I recommend my wife's vagina. It's great. Top tier.
Wait, so how long have you been doing doula?
Yeah, not so long.
How long have you been doula-ing?
Honestly, the hardest part about doula work is saying doula-ing. I still am not sure. I feel like I'm always just like, oh, I went to a birth. Or I try to avoid saying doula-ing because it's so awkward.
Yeah.
Yeah. I say practicing as a doula, I think.
That's better.
Do you have a doula nemesis? Are there dueling doulas?
Oh my God, what's the scene like?
Oh my God. That'd be amazing. Yeah, the scene is interesting.
That's a web series.
I'm really new.
Dueling doula.
Dang, I gotta write this down.
Pitch it.
Yeah, I feel like they're definitely, like, in the birth work community, there's, like, you know, things that people argue about, but it's a very supportive community outside. I'm also really new to it. Like, I've only been practicing, I think, for almost a year now. Like, I had my first birth last March. So it's been really recent. So I'm still, like, getting a landscape. But I think what's also great about New York City is that there's such a strong, like, community-based doula, like, squad here of people who are really in it to be, like, fighting the system and like being advocates, which is amazing. And it's also like New York City, I'm pretty sure they're the first city in the United States to provide free doulas to vulnerable populations, and the doulas get paid. So there's like a lot of institutional support here.
Wow.
Yeah, or more so than other places. So, which I think like makes it easier to like create collectives and like be out here like doing the work and advocating on behalf of people who are birthing.
If you don't have it covered by insurance, how does that work, like, pricing wise? Is it like per birth? Like, is it a set package, like a wedding planner?
Yeah, it is package based. So, like, I have like a doula package that's like, you know, like you get these prenatal visits and like I'm on call and birth and da 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 da.
Yeah.
And some people, like, depending on what you're trained in and like what skills you, like, if you're a prenatal yoga instructor, you can be like, you can add on to my package, like a private session, blah, blah, blah. But the cost of doulas, and this for a really long time, they were considered like luxury goods because they can be really expensive. Like,
right.
There's a doula, Mama Glow, who, like, amazing doula, has such a great Insta account, but like doula for, what's her name? Ashley Graham, the like plus size model.
Oh, yeah. Mm.
Yeah. And she charges like $25,000 per birth. So it's like,
okay.
I know. Yeah. Right.
So it will be on Patreon.
Yeah. But most doulas are not doing that.
Yeah.
But yeah, it can get pricey if you are not going through like a program. But there are also like a lot of doulas that offer sliding scale, which I do. But yeah. it can be expensive.
Yeah. But and then some insurances do cover doulas.
I don't know.
Not many.
Yeah. I think some do.
Okay.
Like some insurances will have like home birth. Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like you and your wives does. I feel like you guys have the best insurance out of
really
everyone.
We have good insurance.
We have very good insurance.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. We're very lucky. Yeah. That's, I know, I just described like a very fancy IVF process.
Yeah.
And it is. And I feel guilty that it's so good because I know how costly and how expensive and hard and not attainable it is for other people. But Cecilia's job, it covers it totally. IVF for both of us.
That's
to go
nuts.
Through.
Whoa.
And it covers,
wow.
like it reimburses the cost for our like directed donor. And I think I might've read something about a doula. So I'm going to circle back
what?
For that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
and
amazing.
Look into it, but they're very, and that's how it should be for everybody. Everybody
yes.
should have, you know, your insurance shouldn't be based on your job. It should be, everybody has access to
all the
great
things.
Care.
Yeah.
Right.
I just don't even know, like I would have to start a Kickstarter to have a baby.
Yeah.
Straight up.
Yeah. I actually Expensive. Am writing a web series based on that.
Really?
So have to start a Kickstarter.
Yeah, it's called Indiegogo. That
oh my god.
Oh, that's cute.
So I won a production deal with Telefilms last year, and I'm moving very slowly on it because diking out is my first baby,
wow.
and that takes priority. But yeah, because it's so expensive, I pitched this idea about a lesbian couple that crowdfunds.
Totally.
They're
relatable.
Baby.
Yeah.
Probably been done.
It has been done.
Yeah.
I'm sure
it's,
we're like
it's
crowdfunding
an actual thing.
So much of healthcare right now.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
disgusting.
Yeah. It's very expensive. And I know New York State will reimburse for IVF up to a certain amount based on your income, which is great. But I know somebody in Florida who had to go through it twice because the first time it didn't work. It cost her over $30,000.
Yeah.
That's
Whoa.
Crazy. Yeah. But then adoption costs like $30,000.
Right.
So
yep.
it's very expensive to, you know, and then on There's the other side of the scale, you have people that are just like, oops, and then getting pregnant very easily for free, you know.
For free.
For free. Yeah, and not to mention, like, if you're trying to adopt, like, the stigma around, like, there's some adoption agencies that, you know, just won't adopt to queer couples.
Right.
It's a whole mess.
Yeah, when I was talking to some friends who are straight and married and they're going through the adoption process and learning about the process and how the parents of the child that's up for adoption or just the mother, if the father isn't in the picture, will watch videos of these couples and then select based on the videos. And I just thought, who's going to pick two women, you know, unless it's like a queer woman who got pregnant, that's maybe like, oh yeah, cool. Mm-hmm. But the chances of that, you know, who knows? Because a lot of times, you know, I mean, maybe I'm off about this, but I would say that people who don't terminate the pregnancy and give their babies up for adoption, a lot of them tend to be religious and are probably not going to be giving it to a lesbian couple.
Yeah, probably
is my hunch. Yeah. So speaking of terminating pregnancies, so abortion doula.
Yeah.
Tell us about that.
Yeah. So there are a lot of different ways to be abortion doula. There's this amazing group here called the Doula Project. And
yes, I've heard of the Doula Project.
Yeah, so they train and provide abortion doulas.
They're very queer.
They're very queer. Yeah,
yes.
They're amazing. And I'm not a doula with the Doula Project, but I have a friend who is. And I think their abortion doula work, I know like they work with clinics and sometimes the abortion doula work is like, I mean, kind of the same like emotional and physical support where you're there like maybe escorting them, holding their hand, or even like holding up legs, like things like that, depending on what the client and what the provider needs. For me, since I was in abortion work for so long, I was just like, this is something that I want to be able to like provide for people. So a lot of my abortion doula, and I haven't had many abortion doula clients, but sometimes it's just like helping them navigate the landscape of abortion since it can be so complicated and confusing and people are like, I don't actually know, like what's an independent clinic, what's a Planned Parenthood clinic, like where can I get funding, small things like that that can make a huge difference, especially when you're like going through something that can be really stressful. Like
I've never even thought about that.
Yeah,
I feel,
no,
oh man,
it's,
I feel just like such feel, a privileged right? jerk. Right. Because, yeah, you know, obviously if I'm in a situation where I need an abortion, it's because mm-hmm. something is either like terribly mm-hmm. wrong with, mm-hmm. with the baby, or someone from the future came and said, you're carrying the next Hitler. And I'm then crying. I have to, make a choice. But mm-hmm. I always thought like, oh, that abortions were pretty straightforward. But now that I know, like, it was almost a year ago that Cecilia and I were like, okay, we're ready to start IVF.
Wow.
And just between like figuring out all the different components, and even now if someone asks me too many questions, I'm like, I don't know. Like yeah. this is very, it's just like a lot of information to take in, mm-hmm. a lot of appointments, a lot of coordinating, even with the insurance. Mm-hmm. There are some things that are still like confusing that we have to get like authorizations on and mm-hmm. calling, and like different pharmacies carry different things. It's a mess. So I guess I always thought, oh, abortion, Planned Parenthood, pretty straightforward, but it's not.
No, yeah. There's so many small things that I think, yeah, you don't really think about when you're yeah. not. Because again, like abortion, for whatever reason, is like separate from the healthcare conversations a lot of times. It's not something, unless like you have had experience with abortion, you're really thinking about the way that we think about other, you know, medical procedures. But yeah, like most abortions are provided by independent clinics. I think it's like 60% or something, which are non-Planned Parenthood clinics. And it's also kind of tough because Planned Parenthood, you know, like they're, when you think of abortion, I feel like they're the first group that you think about. So they get a lot of attention, which means, you know, they get a lot of hate, but they also get like a lot of funding and things. Mm-hmm. So independent clinics sometimes are like operating on their own, but maybe in a community where they're getting still the same amount of like attacks and hate, but don't have the same platform to like fundraise or anything. So like small things like that. And then also like there are two ways you can have an abortion. You can have like an in-person abortion, which is like a suctioning, and you can have an at-home abortion, which is a medication abortion. And so yeah. some people will get abortion right. doulas. Yeah, for that, which is like, because that can be, that's a little bit more intense on the body because you essentially like induce labor.
Yeah.
And so some people just like want someone there to talk through it, or some people like want like the physical support of like, oh, I'm going to be having these terrible cramps. Like, can you give me advice on how to deal with that? So little things like that. And then also like people who have self-managed abortions where they're getting an abortion outside of like a medical setting, however that happens. Like I am also like provide that resource where you can like call me and I can direct you to resources or help you answer questions to the best that I can. Like I don't give any medical advice, but.
So what's that, like riding a horse?
Yeah. Like self-managed abortion.
Yeah. Just some like strenuous.
I've never heard that, but I'm going to definitely bookmark that one. Some people will like find like medication abortion pills like online.
Sure.
Yeah, which is can be really much cheaper. And then there are other like witchy, like someone for my birthday actually got me like a book that was like spells and potions to have abortions.
I love it. That's the best book. What a great gift.
Isn't that so good?
I love the yes. witchy doula yoga yes. scene. And like honestly, I've met doulas since I've moved here just because I started going to this yoga center.
Oh.
Where there, yeah. I just started meeting a lot yoga. Of like doulas there and people who did sound baths. Like all these communities are all kind of
yes!
like intertwined
right, the
in
Reiki
the city.
Community. Yes. The oh yeah, we're all the holistic wellness.
Yes, I love it,
folks. Yeah, yeah. So I mean, I think I don't know about the how effective those ones are, but I mean, there are options. Riding a horse probably is yeah. somebody's option.
Oh, yikes.
I always think of that movie from a while back, Riding in Cars with Boys, where Drew Barrymore is like pregnant and she throws herself down a staircase, but like she's very not committed to throwing herself down a staircase because it's like scary. So it's kind of a way if you're like hesitantly tumbling gently downstairs. Wow. And it's one of the funniest scenes in a movie.
I forgot about that scene.
I mean, I was so young when I watched it, but it was that funny and like crazy that it stuck with me. And whenever I think of somebody trying to give themselves an abortion, I just think of like Drew Barrymore throwing herself down half-heartedly.
Yeah.
Throwing herself downstairs.
Ooh, speaking of movies, have you seen like doulas represented in media, like in any like TV
no.
shows or movies?
Okay. Yeah, well, no, sometimes there was randomly a Bob's Burgers episode where just like some Yay. Truly like one line character was like, I'm a physicist and a doula. But I don't think I've seen it in like a mainstream way at all. And this was the thing that really like blew my mind. Just learning about birth and how it's portrayed on TV is so different than how it actually happens. Like your water doesn't, I mean, it
Tell
breaks,
us.
But it's not like
gush of liquid. And also when your water might break well into you being in labor, or your water might break and you still have a long way to go.
Yeah.
Yes. And so it's like labor isn't that like, but it's like a really great screen effect, obviously, to have someone like pour juices out their body.
Right.
And be like, oh yeah, they're in labor. Yeah. So like little things like that where I was like, oh damn, like this is so different than what I thought it was. But I feel like the media has done such a terrible job of portraying how labor actually goes, which is such a detriment to people. Like if you don't get a childbirth education class and all you've ever seen is what birth looks like in like movies and TV, you don't really have a great picture of like what that experience might be like for you. Like it takes a really long time. There's so many different stages. It is not real. Sometimes I see births on TV and it's like someone's in a full face of makeup and I'm like, yeah, I guess.
But, that would have been my mom. I'm pretty sure my mom... I would be shocked if my mom didn't have a full face of makeup.
That's hilarious.
Oh, really?
I was also born. I was also born on New Year's Day. So,
oh, okay. She was having a look.
Yeah. She was probably keeping her options open, not knowing how the night was going to turn out.
Yeah,
I did.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, no, you go.
I was just gonna say it looks horrific on TV. You're right.
Yeah. I once had a client who like knew exactly the moment when she wanted her wig taken off in birth. So I think there are some people who are thinking about it. She was like, as soon as, when I'm ready to start pushing, then I'll take my wig off. But there are cameras there and things. So,
right. Well, now everything is so much about Instagram and social media and appearances
of
stuff.
The amount of FaceTimes at births that I've seen. And that was the thing. I feel like I just really was not expecting. I was like, I didn't really plan like the cousins who were like, I guess this is how it would happen now, but it's weird.
I saw a video of my sister's C-section, and when they do it, it's like there's kind of a curtain blocking, so I could just see like the top of her head of where her husband was standing taking the video.
Yeah.
And then you just see this like baby come up out of her body, and it is the most insane thing, and I was... It was like an hour of me freaking out after watching it, but just like mind being blown, being like, that's insane.
What the craziest part of births for me every time where I'm like, I've seen this before, like, why am I still shocked? Is when you can literally see the belly like start to descend, and it's just crazy to look at.
Oh, man.
The stomach just moves south as the baby gets lower and gets ready to like leave the body. And I'm like, there is a full human inside of you.
Yes.
It also makes me really, and I mean, I feel like I got into astrology, where I feel like a lot of queers got like, just sort of.
A bunch of listeners just like stopped whatever they're doing.
I know.
They just pulled over on the side of the road.
I like know my full chart. I know what it all means. But then sometimes I'm at birth and like I see someone get born and I'm like, this is going to determine your personality for the rest of your life? So that sometimes I'm like, that's a real dissonance in my head that I'm working through right now.
Yeah.
Can I believe in astrology and be a birth doula? We'll see.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. That makes it so if you have like a scheduled C-section and you feel like maybe your horoscopes don't really resonate.
That's true.
Whoa.
Maybe it's because your moon, if your rising doesn't check out and you had a C-section,
you should be a horoscope write in and doula. Let us know.
Is it?
Oh, yeah.
Yes, that's my next career
next
move.
Next chapter.
Horoscope. That's also a web series.
Yeah.
Susan, the horoscope doula. That's going to be the title.
Susan.
Every character I write is named Susan.
Or Rosie.
Or Rosie.
Maybe. Oh my God, Rosie O'Donnell delivering a baby in Now and Then is one of my favorite movie birth scenes. Do you remember that?
Yes, I do remember it because at the Queer Film Theory show, which is all about like queer subtext, this comedian, Connor Cragen, did Now and Then.
I wanted to do Now and Then when I did that show, but I couldn't because he had already done it.
Oh. Gay men always just trying to steal our thunder. Now and Then, you should leave that for queer women. Leave it for the dykes.
Sorry, have you seen Now and Then?
I haven't seen Now and Then. I love Rosie O'Donnell.
Well, it's about friendship between four women, so clearly a dyke movie.
Yeah.
And Rosie O'Donnell's in it.
And originally, in the original script, she was supposed to end up gay. But then the movie studio changed it at the last minute
because it checks
in with these four friends growing up in the late 70s in Indiana, their best friends, going on adventures. And then it like plays with time flashes to present day, which was like at the time, like the mid 90s.
Yes.
So it was really controversial. But originally, Rosie O'Donnell was the tomboy in the group, played by Christina Ricci.
Yeah.
She was supposed to end up a lesbian, but they at the last minute pulled it. But she looks like such a lesbian.
She binds her chest in it.
Yeah. Yeah. She has like, scenes of her binding her chest, fighting boys.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. Oh my God. I thought Turk in Tarzan was the gayest character she played in the 90s, but I guess I'm so wrong.
Wow. Yeah, well, so Christina Ricci binds her chest, but Rosie is still. So the queer subtext in it is like her friend who. Is it Thora Birch? Is that the name of that? Yeah. Okay. So Thora Birch.
Teeny?
Yeah. Is her friend, and she says something like, when I grow up, I'm going to marry a doctor. And then Christina Ricci's character becomes a doctor because she's in love with her the whole movie. Yeah, she's clearly in love with her. And then when like the birth is happening, it's like the husband's like nowhere to be. He's like barely there.
Yeah.
And it's like you would think just based on the like little that they show that like Rosie and her live together because she knows her way around the kitchen and is just very at home there and then delivers her baby.
Aww.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. I'm adding that to the list.
So close, yet so far to be that close to the
right there, yeah, right in front of that vagina.
Right there.
Yeah, it's on Netflix. Oh,
it's a good watch.
Is there anything else about doulas you want the Dyking Out world to know?
I think it's like really important to examine, like especially if you have a uterus, just like what that's like for you. And I think there is just not enough discussion around bodies in that way. And it's like such an important part of your health. Yeah. And if you are interested in birth justice, especially if like you're in New York City, there is such like an amazing movement happening. And if you're not in New York City, like check out what's going on in your community. And if you're interested in being a doula, that's the other thing. Try and be a doula. It's like really, I think, a really accessible way of like getting involved in if you're interested in health work or if you're interested in, yeah, like wellness, all these types of things.
Or if you're interested in meeting other queers.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, apparently it's a great way to meet.
Yes.
Some lady.
If you're single and looking for a lady who knows her way around your anatomy.
Find a doula.
Is there like an online resource for people to go kind of start to look into
dueling?
Yeah.
There are a couple of places. Like I'm trained with Dona International. So you can look up where they're having trainings. If you're in New York, like I know you mentioned Ancient Song. I love them. I'm not involved with their work, but they are, community-based, just do a lot of really great work in birth justice and birth advocacy. They also have an amazing like prison doula program where they provide doulas to incarcerated pregnant people.
I love that.
I know. It's beautiful. No, it's truly amazing. It's another thing that's on my, like, I would love to do that. Yeah.
This doula world
is so gay, beautiful.
I just want to live inside of it.
I'm like, what, prison?
It's so gay.
It's the most supportive. Also, Erica Badu is a doula. Just
yes. Oh my God, I can't believe we didn't bring that up.
Literally, anybody could be a doula.
We're obsessed
with about her vagina.
And she doulaed for Slick Woods, who's that beautiful rapper, the gap teeth, and the shaved head.
Yeah,
or model. I don't know if she's a rapper. Anyway,
what can she do?
I know.
Okay, one last quick question. If you know about how does the state of doulery in the U.S. compared to like the international community, like where is doulaing very big? You know, is it like bigger in Europe? Have they been onto doulas all along or like in Africa or, you know, wherever?
I feel like a lot of cultures just like, I mean, birth has been happening literally forever.
Right.
Or, you know, since birth has been happening.
Right.
So I imagine that many, many cultures, like I know Egypt has a similar thing. All the cultures that I know of, like Egypt. I have a friend who told me about this huge doula scene in Amsterdam. So there are doulas also Mexico. There's a great technique that a lot of doulas use called rebozo, and I'm pretty sure that originates in Mexico. So I assume they have a great brand. Basically, it's everywhere. It is everywhere that you want it to be. That's such a cheesy thing, corny thing to say, but
yeah.
I don't know if they're all called doulas, but. And the last thing I'll say is that you should definitely question, like, medicine and the healthcare system. And it's really important to advocate for yourself. Not everybody gets a doula. I wish I had a dentist doula because I'm always scared going to the dentist. God. And I'm like,
Me too. Right? I have a lot of issues going to the dentist.
Yes. Wow. And just like, you know, the ways that they make assumptions, the ways that they believe or disbelieve your experience or your pain. I think it's been a great skill to practice just being like, wait, this feels wrong. Let me like say something about it.
I think you've hit on something really important because we're not really taught to be advocates for ourselves or to call on the help of somebody to be an advocate. And, you know, we're raised in a society where you're told to trust authority and doctors.
Blindly trust doctors.
Yeah, blindly trust doctors. I mean, I had a surgery once that I shouldn't have had. And my pediatrician found out about it afterwards and was like, why didn't you talk to me first? You didn't need that. But for the other doctor, you know, that was how much money, like thousands of dollars that he could get reimbursed from insurance companies. Right. And it's like really crazy. And you have to question what motivates the decisions, because I think that what's best for you is secondary, and what they can get away with that's safe is what the doctor will do first. You know, it's like, do no harm, but what's a way to do no harm but make the most money?
Yeah, especially in a capitalistic.
In a capitalistic.
Yeah. And like avoid getting sued. Since
and avoid getting sued, yeah. It is time for our listener question. And as a reminder, we've been getting a lot of listener questions in, but if you want to be added to the queue, you can send it to dykingout@gmail.com.
Absolutely. And this week's listener question is a good one. It came in from over the seas, right?
Yes, from the UK.
This one comes from the UK, and it goes like this. I was engaged before I met my current girlfriend. The wedding was paid for and everything was set. However, the engagement was broken off when my ex came home from work out of the blue and told me that I didn't love her enough. So she was leaving me. It turned out she was sleeping with an older, married, supposedly straight woman from her work. I was understandably devastated and a bit embarrassed. However, a while after that, I met my current girlfriend and now realize what a healthy and exciting relationship is like. Mm. And we've been together for nearly 3 years and it's so much fun. It feels like we just met.
Yay.
Yeah. Being 31, I'm getting a lot of pressure off of my mates and my family to get engaged. I think she'd say yes if I asked her, but the only reason I wouldn't is because I'm scared of what happened last time. Things are so good and I don't want to change anything. Yet, it sort of feels like a natural progression. Should I let my initial engagement dictate what I do now?
That initial engagement was so messy.
Yeah, it shouldn't dictate shit.
Yeah, don't let that cunt, and I use that word sparingly, but don't let that cunt dictate what you do in this relationship. That is mean.
That's, yeah.
That is...
That's destructive.
You to blame her, you don't love me enough. No. But really, she was cheating.
Yeah, that's psychotic.
A hex.
But what is this supposedly straight woman's deal?
Yes, I know. Oh my God, wait, married. This is what's her face from. Have you watched all the L Word?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The one who ends up dating Jane Lynch's character.
Oh, Sybil Shepherd.
Sybil Shepherd. Yeah. Yes. This is Sybil, and
she dates Alice.
Yes, for Alice. A while. Yes.
Okay,
yes.
I was thinking Alice.
She
all
meets
right.
through Bette, but she
yes.
dates
yeah,
Alice.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Got it. Wow.
Oh my God, that was fun. I like when her and Jane Lynch got together.
Me too.
But okay, but back to you, the listener. Yeah.
The listener's like, this happens all the time. Every time I tell people about my life, they start talking about the L Word episode.
It's like, listen, honey, that's what we're all dealing with.
I know.
No.
Especially now that Persians are on the L Word.
Yeah.
Melody's life has changed.
100% more relatable.
But the one thing that I will say from your question, it sounds like the reasons you want to get engaged aren't because you're excited to do it. It's because you feel like, oh, well, I guess that's the next step, or I'm getting pressure from my family. So I think it's important to figure out what you actually want.
Yeah. And I feel like there are ways to demonstrate, like to take relationships to the next level that, you know, aren't marriage or like reliant on like an institution. And I think if you are feeling really excited about this person, yeah, maybe there's a way to have that conversation and see like what works best for you too. But yeah, I feel like it sounds like there's a lot of external pressure.
Right.
Even though there's a lot of love there and a lot of commitment and devotion.
But. Yeah, yeah. It sounds like, you know, you're in a great relationship. And I think that if you do really want to marry her and you want to be in a marriage with her, that's a great reason to get engaged. Not because you feel like that's necessarily the next thing, but because you were engaged once before, it sounds like maybe you are a person who does want to be married, and that marriage is an institution that you want to be a part of, and that's great too. So honestly, it's whenever you're ready, but I wouldn't let the fear of what this other person did, and honestly, you have to view that as a blessing. I know it sounds horrible and traumatic, and I'm sure it sucked at the time, but what a blessing.
Dodged a bullet there.
Yes, you dodged a huge bullet. Imagine had you gotten married, you would have been miserable. It would have been so much more gut-wrenching, and now you've been given this opportunity. Now you've found somebody who it seems like you're so in love with, and I think you'll just know when it's right, you know? As somebody who has proposed to two people, you know, sometimes you just know and are like, all right, you know, I want to do it. Take the next step.
Yeah. And 31 is still young.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying that just because I'm 31. and still not married. It's fine.
I also wonder if, like, maybe this is a conversation that you have with your girlfriend right now, talking about engagement. Also, can't, like, did you talk about engagement before you proposed? I've always wondered this. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. And definitely talked about all of it. I mean, you know, stereotypical lesbians over communicating things, even though my first marriage was with somebody who didn't like to communicate much, but there were, you know, but I did want to make sure that was something. I had always thought that I wanted to be married, and especially once it was legalized, that there's something about having it feel settled that is important for me. And I wanted to make sure that that was known, because if I was with somebody who didn't want that, then again, you know, I almost let my ex-wife dictate my thoughts on marriage. I mean, it's a little bit different, but after that marriage ended, I was like, oh, I should never get married again. And then I'm like, why let that experience, you know, affect what I'm having with this other person who I'm so clearly meant to be with and want to spend my life with and start a family with and all of that, you know? Mm. So you just know.
You'll know.
Mean, you know, you also never 100% know. The human mind is great like that, you're always thinking what if, but sometimes you just make a decision too. So we were not helpful at all. You're welcome.
So feel it out.
Feel it out.
Just vague advice. Just go with the vibe. And
And you know what? If you get engaged and things go bad, then you're 2 for 2 and you can write a book about it.
And then,
you can start a podcast.
And answer someone else's question.
Now all these people are going to be replying to their emails being like, never mind, please don't answer my question anymore. Not helpful. Thank you for writing in. We appreciate it. Best of luck. And it sounds like you're in a great place and we are happy for you.
Yes.
Solange, where can people find you on social media?
You can find me on Instagram and Twitter. My handle is at Solange and then N-A-Z.
How much doulery is in your stand-up? And your comedy and writing.
I'm writing like a pilot about doulas. That has been so
great.
Fun. And like, yeah, it just feels like
well, apparently it's much needed.
Yeah, it's like such a struggle. It's not really that big of a struggle, but like, you know, I respect my clients' privacy. So I'd never give details about births that I can put in context. But I think there are also so many funny things about birth. So I'll like talk just about those things.
Yeah.
But my social media content, sadly, I feel like is not as doula heavy as I think some other doulas are. It's like all baby pictures, and mine, I feel like it's just memes. So,
well, you're amazing and interesting and funny outside of your profession, too.
Aww.
So, not everything has to be doula centric.
Yeah. And I can't believe I didn't bring it up this whole time, but Solange went to Harvard.
Stock much. Whoa, that wasn't in the email exchange. sometimes yeah. Harvard puts out a Milky Pete Buttigieg, yeah. and sometimes it puts out a badass queer black doula.
We love.
I know. Wow. It's like, if only we could control it a little bit better. It'd be great if we could like put a Pete Buttigieg in and have a Solange come out.
Right. Yeah. Right.
16.
Cool. Thank you so much for thank you so much for having me.
This is an incredible podcast, and I'm so glad I got to be on.
You can follow us, listeners, if you're not already. If you're not already, what are you doing? Follow us at Dyking Out on Instagram and Twitter and Facebook, and we post different things in different places. So do it.
Do it.
And you can also go on Patreon / Dyking Out if you want to get like an enamel pin or temporary tattoos or extra content. Our Dyking Off Topic episodes are there. Or if you just want to show some love and support us as we try to travel to more cities together and put shows on outside of New York, because we know a lot of you want that, and that obviously costs money, so that's the kind of stuff that our Patreon helps fund, and we're trying to buy some new mobile equipment so yes. that we can really have a better reach and get guests from all different places, even though New York is just so many dykes. Mm-hmm. So many dykes that who have been great and informative and wonderful, but we're expanding here. So patreon.com/dykingout. And Melody, where can people find you?
They can find me on all the social meds at Melody Kamali.
And I'm at TGI Carolyn. And you won't find pictures of my wife's vagina there.
Because that's on the Patreon.
That's on Patreon. Yeah. Thank you for dyking out with us this week. Dyke out with us again. Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Have you ever watched a futuristic sci-fi movie and wondered, but wait, could any of this really happen? And will I live long enough to see it? That's what our show Hypothetical is about. I'm Carrie Bechet, and on this podcast, we ask what-if questions about the future. Like, what if we could read minds? What if the world's digital data was erased all at once? What would happen if the Yellowstone supervolcano erupted? Then we explore that question two ways, through speculative science fiction and through dialogue with brilliant scientists. The result is a genre-bending narrative that's interwoven with real facts provided by literal geniuses. And spoiler alert, a lot of the science fiction out there, it's not nearly as far-fetched as you might think. Come time travel with me into the future on Hypothetical. New episodes on Tuesdays, available on all your favorite podcast apps. Just search Hypothetical. That's HYPERTHETICAL.